Good afternoon. This is Dr. Minette Riordan, and I am thrilled to be participating in the Public Speakers Association Global Summit today and talking to you a little bit about core temperament and how understanding what your core temperament is and what other people's temperaments are can really help you do a better job of building credibility and trust quickly and effectively, whether you're speaking to a group of people or in a one-on-one sales situation. So to tell you a little bit about me, I am a coach, speaker, author. I am based in Santa Barbara, California, and my passion is really helping women entrepreneurs who are also married and trying to run busy families get all the pieces flowing together beautifully so that we can work smarter, not harder, and so that we can have really fabulous, sizzling relationships with our spouses and lots of time with our kids without feeling guilty about the hours that we're working. I have been an award-winning entrepreneur. I have spoken all over the country. I do a lot of things, but what I'm most passionate about is people. And so what I want to teach you today is one of my favorite tools for quickly getting to know people better. So like I said, no matter if you're a speaker, if you're in sales, if you're a coach, this information will help you do what you do a little bit better just by giving you a broader vision of who people are and why they are who they are. So let's just dive right in today to: are you a bulldozer or a ringmaster, and how can knowing that help you boost credibility? So what is core temperament? A lot of you are probably familiar with some of the standard personality assessments that are out on the market, Myers-Briggs, DISC. There's a variety of them. I saw one today that was a reference to some of the old studies that I did in college on psychology from Hippocrates, right? So people have been talking about core temperament for thousands of years. This is not a new concept, but it's not necessarily one that we really know, understand, or really recognize how we can put it to use in our daily life. So core temperament is really only 20% of your whole personality. But it's the part of your personality that doesn't change across time. And what I mean by that, the best way to describe that, is to think about watching a 5-year-old child playing on the playground. You can tell a lot about their temperament from watching how they interact with their environment, how they react to stress. Are they friendly and outgoing and run up to kids? Do they stand on the sidelines and kind of just watch for a little bit? You know, what is it that they do that really helps you get a sense of who they are? And so when you think about your own core temperament, it's the part of you that has not changed since you were a child. And it's the part of our personality that tells us how we build our values, how we shape our preferences, how we formulate our reactions to the world around us. And knowing this, understanding temperament, can really help us understand how other people process information, how people handle stress. Can you imagine how useful that would be if you're managing people to understand how the people in your employ manage and handle stress? What do they believe about their environment? And how do they respond to their environment? Again, that analogy of you've got 2 5-year-olds standing on either side of you at the playground, and one of them runs right into the fray of children and joins the game really quickly, while the other one hangs back and watches, looks, assesses, and waits till they feel safe before they begin to interact. All of that is based on temperament and our environment. It also helps you understand how to work more effectively with people, how people approach tasks. For example, with my particular temperament, which I'll share with you in a few minutes, I am not great at tasks. I'd way rather be sitting here talking on the telephone and doing presentations and interacting with people than sitting behind a computer, taking care of details, looking at spreadsheets, understanding facts and figures and demographics. Not my strength at all. And knowing that has helped me build a great business model that works for me, and also taught me how to get the right players on my team to build an effective business, because we can't be everything to everybody, and we need to understand what our strengths are and how to use our core temperament to move forward and find great partners that are a beautiful match for who we are, that bring the skills and talents that we don't have. Temperament can also help us understand how people deal with time and how they work in structured situations. You know, are you working with people who are really respectful of time and show up punctually? Are they always running 10 minutes behind? And what's important to you? Are you the one who's always running 10 minutes behind, or do you really value punctuality? And you might think these are just kind of quirky things about people, or you don't really know why they are part of your personality, but the truth is it's your core temperament and part of who you've always been. Punctuality is super important to me, not just from a temperament perspective, but also how I was raised. I was raised that it was a show of respect to the other person to always be punctual. So understanding all these different aspects of both our temperament and our personality, and I said that core temperament is 20%. The other 80% of your personality is definitely influenced by where you grew up, what kind of family you came from, what kind of religion or community or culture you're a part of, what stresses and traumas have happened to you in your life, what successes and achievements. All those things blend together to create your personality as a whole. But why I want to talk about temperament today is because it's our natural predisposition to really going out into the world and making our way. So it's really crucially important to understand this about yourself. So it can also tell you if you're a coach or a teacher or a parent, how much assistance does someone need? Some temperaments need lots of guidance and hand-holding and lovey-touchy-feely stuff, and others are very hands-off, independent, let me do it by myself. Knowing that ahead of time helps you really get to the core of a matter when you're working with someone much more effectively. So I want to tell you just real quickly, oh, and let me mention, I totally forgot to mention this. See, I'm not a detail person. On my website at MinetteRiordan.com, and that's MinetteRiordan.com, there is a handout that you can download that goes along with this talk. It gives you some quick overviews of each of the four core temperaments that I'm about to share with you, as well as some other details on how to what we call style shift and understand what each of the other temperaments really want from you, especially when you're out doing public speaking. You have a room full of people. You're going to have a variety of different temperaments all in the room. How can you appeal to all of them in one presentation? Especially these days when a lot of the luncheons you might only have anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes to do a presentation, you have to really understand how to work the room effectively, and that's kind of the meat of what I want to share with you in just a few moments. So MinetteRiordan.com/CT-handout. I'll say that one more time, MinetteRiordan.com/CT-handout. You'll find the downloadable handout to accompany this presentation if you want to go take a look at that, or make sure you go and download it after the presentation. And don't feel like you have to be taking notes as I go really quickly through some of the information. So I've been working with the core temperament assessments since 2006. I became certified in one called the CRG Leader, the Personality Style Indicator, out of Vancouver, British Columbia. And over the years, as I've worked with the information, I've tried to also make it a match for my personality when I'm presenting it. So they had all these kind of just, you know, flat names without a lot of personality, like affective and cognitive and interpersonal. And I have changed them along with my business partner and co-author of our book, From Fizzle to Sizzle, Four Crucial Tools for Relationship Repair, to be more of a reflection, a visual image, if you will, of what, to me, each of the temperaments represent. So the four core temperaments are Bulldozer, Detective, Border Collie, and Ringmaster. Again, these are all on the handout, so you don't feel like you have to write them all down. And I want to tell you a little bit about each of them, and then I want to talk just briefly about what credibility is and why it matters. And then I'm going to give you some tips on how you can make sure that you're paying attention to touch points for each of the temperaments in an effective way. So first, what's a bulldozer? So for me, the classic example of a bulldozer is someone like Donald Trump. He's very focused on achieving, on moving forward. Michael Jordan is another great example of a bulldozer, incredibly talented physically and very motivated to accomplish success in his life and his work, both on the basketball court and off. A bulldozer is driven, motivated, passionate. They don't always pay attention to people. They're very task-oriented. So if you have that bulldozer personality, you're a driver, you're a great visionary, but sometimes you forget that there's followers behind you and you need to be reminded to pay attention, again, to the fact that there's people who need you to pay some attention. The detective, when I think of the detective, I think of the typical accountant, CPA, financial planners, people that love spreadsheets and details and very cognitive abilities. They love doing tasks right. It's very important to them to be valued for the work that they do and for people to witness what they're doing. They're great worker bees and team players. They're great virtual assistants. These are the people who provide incredible support for teams in their ability to see all the tasky details that people like me don't want to deal with, right? They're great office administrators, right? Great COOs and CFOs tend to be that detective personality. They're incredibly loyal. They can also be pretty stubborn. But for the and very much like the bulldozer, they tend to be more focused on tasks than people. They don't love it when you get really emotional with them. They love it when you value them for what they're accomplishing. So things to think about just briefly about the detective, and maybe some of you as you're listening to me talk are starting to recognize yourselves. The Border Collie is this beautiful little black and white dog who is all about hurting people, but she's also very, very loyal. She's the emotional people lover teacher that really loves to take care of people and make sure everything's running effectively. And she really needs lots of appreciation. And I'll tell you more about what she needs in just a moment. And then finally, the ringmaster. The ringmaster is the star of the show. They love to be the center of attention. These are influencers. They are, I think of Oprah, and part of her personality is very much the ringmaster, very comfortable in the public arena, a great speaker, a great presenter, very enthusiastic, but also incredibly creative, artistic. So those of you that have a tendency to love to write or to journal or to speak tend to fall into this ringmaster category. So I know I'm giving you very brief information about these, and you will find more in the handout at MinetteRiordan.com/CT-handout, more details about each of the four temperaments and how to quickly assess your own temperament as well. But let's shift just for a moment and talk about credibility. So the trick with credibility is that we all want it, but we can never just stand up and say, well, I have credibility. Credibility lies in the mind of other people. Other people perceive credibility about you. Oprah is a great example of someone who has amazing credibility in the public arena because of who she is and what she stands for and the work she's done. Whether you like her or not or enjoy watching her shows doesn't matter. She's someone that in the majority of people's minds, she has a lot of credibility. And you create credibility by understanding how to effectively communicate with people. That's why temperament is such a crucial part of any business owner's toolbox, understanding it, being able to work with it, both knowing your own and being able to really shift your own temperament to more effectively communicate with others. So I want to give you some quick tips on if you're giving a presentation specifically either to a group or one-on-one, that you understand how to appeal to each of the four temperaments so that you can quickly build credibility. Because one of the ways we build credibility is to get people to know, like, and trust us. And how they get us, how can we get them to know, like, and trust us? By showing that we see them, we get them, we understand them. So for some of the temperaments, that's a little bit more challenging. If you are a speaker or a salesperson or a coach who has a heavy tendency to being a bulldozer, you have to learn how to soften your personality to be a better listener, to not tell people what to do, but to be willing to ask questions. So that's just one little hint about how temperament can adversely impact our relationships with people if we're not aware of it. So in a nutshell, the bulldozer, we talked about, think about Donald Trump, if any of you have ever paid any attention to him in the media and, you know, some of the things that he does or watched his shows, and he's very much a driver, right? He's very driven. He's not really very kind to people. But there's certain aspects of his personality that when people understand how to communicate effectively with a bulldozer, you can have a great relationship, make great progress, and get a decision from them really quickly. So the bulldozer wants you to give them summarized facts. Don't give them too much detail, especially in a presentation. They really need you to be to the point. They don't love super long personal stories. These are not people who are going to naturally gravitate towards the motivational speakers. They want value. They want education. They don't want fluffy motivational stuff. So if you're a motivational speaker, how do you appeal to a personality like that? To have a nice balance of value, education, and short stories, right? Don't go off on tangents. You will lose their attention and you will lose their appreciation if you tend to just really randomly go off topic and start telling long stories that really aren't on the topic that you were supposed to be speaking about. Bulldozers also tend to be very bright, and they like you to move fast. So when you're speaking, it's a really fine balance between not going so slow that you're boring people to death, but not going too fast so that you're losing somebody like your detective. So really work on pacing. I know I'm going really fast today for probably for some of you, and I'm a ringmaster. I tend to go really fast. And so be conscientious of the pacing of your talk. Make sure that your stories are well-placed and educational and really illustrate the points you're trying to create. But be careful, depending on the audience that you're talking to, that you're not getting too emotional. Now, if you're at a small women's retreat, you are going to have primarily a lot of border collies in the room. Feel free to do that, right? But really, this is about understanding and asking the question ahead of time of who's going to be in the audience so that you know how to really appeal to them in an effective way. The detective, unlike the bulldozer, loves details, graphs, charts, spreadsheets, PowerPoints. They like it all. They love handouts that they can write on. They want information they can follow up on. They want to see all of the information that's behind whatever it is that you're presenting. So in order to appeal to the detective, you've got to have all those other pieces, even if they're not part of your presentation. Feel free to have them available. They love handouts. They'll take them home. They'll go over all the information. So don't be afraid to provide those details in a print format or somewhere on a website where they can go and look at it and follow along so that you're meeting their need for more information and understanding without boring everybody else in the room to death. They love to be treated with respect. If you're in a room full of detectives, you know, they want to know that you appreciate the value that they're bringing to the room also. And you can do that by asking questions, by answering questions, by inviting them to participate. The detective, like the bulldozer, doesn't appreciate it when you get too emotional. They also love quality work. So make sure that you are prepared. And this is just true for any presentation that you give. It should be well rehearsed and well practiced and have a nice flow and a nice pace. I remember the first time that I had to give a presentation in public, I had very little speaking experience. I had a PhD where I had to do a lot of presentations at conferences, and I would get so nervous. I would be sweating and my knees would be shaking. And when I owned my previous business, I owned a publishing company in the Plano, Texas area for just over a decade. And I was invited to give a presentation to a Rotary group, so I'm in front of a room of about 40 people, and I had 20 minutes to speak. I was so nervous. I gave my 20-minute presentation in 10 minutes. I just went through the information so fast. So be conscientious of your presentation time, and if you are someone who's just starting out and feeling nervous, practice makes perfect. Practice, practice, practice. Ask your kids, ask your husband, ask a girlfriend or a colleague. Ask somebody to listen to you so that you can get over some of the nerves ahead of time. One of my other tips was I used to write slow down at the tops of each of my pieces of paper for a presentation or my note cards, whatever I was using, so that I would remember to take a deep breath and slow down. The border collie. The border collie loves to feel included. So in a presentation, they're the ones, the detectives and the border collies are going to be quiet. And when you ask for participation, they often know the answer, but they're not the first ones to speak up. So if you can see and pay attention and you see someone that, you know they want to participate, but they're not really quite comfortable raising their hands, don't be afraid to call on people, right? Make them feel included. Make them feel welcome. Invite them into the conversation with you. They love the stories and the emotional connection. So there, again, it's finding that nice balance between value, education, and the personal story. You do want to include some of that because it makes you relatable. And being relatable is a key factor of building credibility in the mind of your audience. The border collie needs to like you. They're going to really want that heart connection. They're going to be the ones who are going to come up after and want more of you and want to be close to you and ask questions and talk to you that they might not have been comfortable asking during a live presentation. And then finally, the ringmaster. I want to really caution you with the ringmaster. They will often try to steal the show. If you're a speaker or even a coach, they will try to take over the stage. It's what they do naturally. So you have to learn how to manage their energy. If they're talking too much, say, hey, I'd love to hear more about what you say, but it needs to happen after the presentation. I only have so much time, and I really have some great information that I want to impart to all of you today. So just make them feel appreciated and noticed, but also let them know that it's not an appropriate time for them to participate. And it's always a challenge when you're giving a public presentation to take questions in the middle as opposed to the end. So really play with that and ask whoever the host of the opportunity is to give you feedback on their audience so that you know what to expect and what works best with their crowd. So the ringmaster loves for you to be creative. So if you are offering PowerPoints, don't put too much information on it. Put pretty pictures and quotes. They really appreciate the creative aspect. They also like really interactive, like if you ask them to stand up and move around, it can be very hard for a ringmaster to sit still for very long. Give them something to take notes or doodle on. Make it as interactive as possible. They really appreciate and value confidence. So be willing to stand in your own personal value and really think about your level of confidence that you're presenting. And pretty much, I would say both the bulldozer and the ringmaster really value charisma and confidence and drive. So make sure that you're bringing that when you give a presentation. If you naturally tend to be the border collie or the detective and you know that public speaking is a great way to grow your business and you're still trying to just get your feet wet and really understand what your natural speaking style is, make sure that you work on the confidence piece and make sure that your voice really shows all of who you are. Don't be afraid to tell jokes. The ringmaster especially, they love it when you tell jokes. Make sure that you're good at telling jokes. You know, being funny was something that when I first started speaking, I really had to work on doing sort of naturally and not feeling like it was going to fall flat. I also had to really work on staying structured and not going off into tangents. And all of that has to do with the fact that I'm a ringmaster. I'm very comfortable getting up in front of the room and just talking. But we all know that we need to have a plan when we're speaking, a very effective plan. So I know that was a whirlwind representation of what core temperament is and how core temperament can build credibility. Please go to my website, MinetteRiordan.com/CT-handout, and you can download this information that you can have it in a written format, especially those of you who are detectives and love to have that extra piece. You'll see that I've created that visual element that can appeal to you even though we're in this telesummit format. It's important to have that backup. So think about all the different elements of your presentation and how to creatively match them up to make sure that you are really working effectively with your audience so that you can build credibility. Because the more that you appeal to them, the more credible you become, the easier it is to sell to the room, and the easier it is to build those long-lasting relationships that we all want to create, and you'll get invited back to speak again. So once again, I'm Dr. Minette Riordan. I am a business coach, a creative coach. I love working with women entrepreneurs and men as well who are really ready for freedom, flexibility, and financial independence. Would love to help you work on your core temperament. So on the handout, you will see there's an opportunity to spend a half hour with me and learn about your own core temperament and how to more effectively communicate with others. And I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Minette Riordan.